What does Auburn basketball have to do to get some respect?
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back and we're live. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, our Sunday night live. It's becoming a tradition now, and I love it. Got my man, Daryl Dapperich, my man, Zach Blacker, being ready to talk Auburn sports, particularly Auburn basketball. A big win this weekend. Another win without Jani Broome. But for whatever reason, some of these national media heads, they still act like either, A, they're shocked we're even – where we are. I don't know what we have to do to prove that we belong, but we're going to talk about that in just a sec. But I want to welcome in the guys, Dap, Zach. How's it going, guys?
It's going great. I look forward to this, man. This has been so good. I'm so glad we all three started doing this, and Sunday nights have become a lot of fun. So I'm pumped.
Yeah, so here's the deal. I'm going to set this up, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this. And this is kind of the subject of the show. So there's a show that goes on. It's a live show, The Field of 68. It's Jeff Goodman and a couple of other guys, and they go on basically every Saturday night. They go on multiple times during the week, and they discuss, obviously, the games of that day. And this one in particular, they were talking about the Alabama and Kentucky game. Obviously, it was a marathon game. Alabama wins in the end. They score 100 points. They give up 97 and end up winning that game. And they were discussing that. Welcome back, Zach. They were discussing that, the Alabama-Kentucky game. And Goodman makes a comment about Auburn's roster, and it blew me away. And I want to play it for you guys and then get your thoughts on it. So without further ado, here's the clip.
But defensively, they're so flawed in a lot of ways. Even though they have really good individual defenders, I just think if they put together their best game, it's still not as good as Duke's best game or Alabama's best game. To me, those are the two most talented teams. Auburn just, man, they've surprised me. They've really surprised, and they still surprise me when I look at what they've done, and then I look at the players on the court. Not to say they're not talented. I just don't think they're at Alabama or Duke level in terms of talent.
So we're still with this surprise of where we're at with this Auburn roster. Dap, I'm going to give you the floor. Tell me give me your initial thoughts and reactions on that particular video.
First of all, thankfully, people that actually know what the crap they're talking about, national media, I don't want to lump and unfairly paint a broad brush of people that know what they're talking about. The people that really know and opinions matter are all over Auburn and know what Auburn is. When you get a clown like Jeff Goodman who doesn't know, I mean, when you listen to him talk right there and he talks about defensively, that's one of Auburn's strong suits. So that tells you there's a narrative. Look, people give opinions all the time. We do. I welcome opinions. That's fine. But when opinions start to become narratives, agendas, bias, there's an obvious dislike, then that's when I question it. And when you sit there and destroy or attack Auburn's defensive acumen this year, when it's one of the best in the country, that tells me you don't know what you're doing. They should drug test at the Field of 68 because he's obviously on something if you listen to him, and even how he slurs. He is constantly all over Nate Oates, making googly eyes at him. I feel like sometimes he wants to turn Coleman Coliseum into the high school gym and slow dance with him. He loves Alabama. So his love of Alabama absolutely taints what he feels about Auburn. And he has been doing this for two or three years. He's biased against Auburn. I don't know what his problem is. I don't know why Bruce Pearl continues to go on his show. It's an obvious hatred, biased, just slanted view. And when you say something that's factual, I'll buy it. If you have an opinion and you, it's an opinion that may not be great, but hey, you know, we're all here giving our opinions. But when you come out and say something that idiotic and you consistently do it for 2 or 3 years, then you know you have a problem. I don't know. Did Bruce Pearl steal his girlfriend in high school? I don't know what the deal is, but it's obvious and it's very, very apparent.
Zach, 17-1. Goodman's still surprised. Every single time Auburn wins, it's a surprise. Alabama's got a more talented roster. What's your thoughts?
I mean, maybe Alabama has a more talented roster, but like, who cares? The goalposts keep moving whenever Auburn achieves something. A few years ago, it was KenPom. Well, the analytics don't like Auburn, so we can't rank them number one. Okay, whatever. Well, they fixed that. Oh, well, you know, Auburn didn't schedule a non-conference. I mean, we heard that a ton last year. Okay, toughest schedule in college basketball, then they absolutely run the dang thing. Oh, the SEC is absolutely stacked. Auburn's the only team that's undefeated, perfect 5-0 to start conference play. And then it reverts back. Well, it's talent. This arbitrary thing that we talk about when it's like, clearly when you watch Auburn basketball, they're able to compete with anybody in college basketball, including an Iowa State team that Auburn beat that Goodman loves. He loves Iowa State. And Auburn went toe-to-toe and beat them in a dramatic fashion in Maui, which, oh, by the way, was the biggest non-conference tournament that Auburn won. The goalpost moved. At one point, it was, okay, well, they're not winning enough. Well, now they're winning more than anybody in college basketball. And it's like, well, it's really not about wins. It's about talent.
And I decide
who's talented. But goodness gracious, it doesn't make any sense. He can't keep moving the goalposts.
If Auburn wins, so let's say Auburn that early stretch, you know, those five really tough games, out of conference games, Auburn goes 3-2 or 2-3, but they knock off, you know, Iowa State, and you could say you're surprised. I'm surprised Auburn knocked off Iowa State there. But at 17-1, at what point does it stop becoming surprising? At what point do we say, okay, maybe this team is pretty talented? I mean,
it almost discredits you. I mean, it's like, have you not watched them this year?
Totally.
You can't discredit something that doesn't have credit to begin with. Look, in the industry, he's known as a fanboy that just basically, as the wind blows and who he has relationships with, is who he props up. If I will take Jay Billis and John Rothstein and Duke Vitale and even Seth Davis, who used to be a little bit of an Auburn hater, who have come out and said, this is hands down the best team in the country, and they're still doing it without the best player in America. You move the goalposts, Zach and Kyle, when you get angry and butthurt because your narrative no longer fits, right? Right now, every time Jeff Goodman hits his knees at night to pray.
Oh, dear. Okay.
To pray. He is praying Auburn loses. And every time they win, it takes a little bit more of his soul. No way did he think they'd be 17-1 at this point. So because they are, he has to change the narrative. He has to change the template and the blueprint. It's very obvious. And to say they just have so many flaws defensively, when Alabama gets 90-pieced consistently, I mean – that's unbelievably stupid and biased and prejudiced. Alabama will, their own coach says they don't defend. All right. So you lose to Ole Miss in your building on Tuesday, and he comes out and acts like this is UCLA from 1968. He's in love with that team and in love with NATO, and nothing Auburn does is going to change that. A lion doesn't concern himself with the opinion of a sheep, and Goodman is a sheep, and Auburn is the lion. The people that matter know what Auburn is. Goodman doesn't matter. He's a speck.
That's fired up. So let me ask you this. Was Alabama not Goodman's preseason number one? I believe they were his preseason number one. So how much does that weigh in here?
That checks out.
How much does that weigh in here?
Big time.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, some people would rather like be perceived as being right than actually being right. I don't think anybody's going to think that like Alabama's this terrible team. And like him saying Alabama's number one in the preseason, like I don't think anybody pushed back on that. It's like, oh, okay, may have disagreed, but like I get it. I totally get it. I think Alabama's got a really good roster. And I think they're a really good team. And I honestly, if I had to pick right now, I would say Auburn goes 1-1 against Bama in the regular season. Bama's totally a good team.
Totally fine. I'd be totally fine with that.
But to act like you're shocked that Auburn wins a game based off of the full body of work, I think it's either lazy or dishonest. It has to be one of the two.
I was going to say something real quick. This all started on the Saturday that Auburn beat South Carolina when Broome got hurt, and Alabama beat kind of a not so overly hyped Texas A&M team now. They're kind of coming back down to earth. He tweets out, if Alabama shoots the basketball like they did today, no one, and then he puts an emphasis on it, and I repeat, no one in the country can play with them. That's what he says about beating a Texas A&M team that really isn't playing all that great.
We didn't know Texas A&M was going to fall off at that point, though. Like, we still thought Texas A&M was a top 4/5 team in the SEC at that point.
But Texas A&M wasn't Houston or Iowa State, and Auburn beat those teams already, and you didn't see anything like that when Auburn beats really good teams.
Here's the thing, though, Daryl. If Alabama shot like that in every single game,
they'd win every game.
Yeah, they win every game.
But they don't. I think that's the stupidest argument. Of all time. First of all, they only shot 35% in that game. They shot 35% from three and 39% from the field. So,
what?
Yeah, exactly. 35% from three and 39% from the field. Here's my
thing. Didn't even shoot it that well. I went back and looked at the stats and thought they shot 60% from three, and they didn't.
Shoot against Ole Miss, Kyle? Do you have that in front of you?
I can get it pretty quick. Here's my thing, though. What kind of take is it that insert team, if they play their best game, can beat anybody? Well, Matt, what a step out. If
Auburn
my team
played their worst game of the season and beat a ranked team on the road without their best player.
That speaks more volumes than it does winning a game playing your best game.
But to me, that's not even a really good comparison. It's not even a really good argument. When they play their best, okay, so the game, so they just don't play their best often? Like, or if we play a flawless game, they'll win the game? They shot against Ole Miss, they shot 25%. They were 5 of 20 from 3 and 42% overall. I want to double check something to make sure I didn't read Texas A&M stats. I don't think I did.
So they shot better from the floor against Ole Miss, and that was tough. That was tough.
Give me a second.
It was them.
They shot 35% from
three.
That's
crazy. So next time he does something like that, we should all be like, well, if Alabama scores more points than any team that they play, they'll win every game this year.
And then here's the other thing. Last year, he comes – along with his other two people, the next round of 68 guys, whatever. And they get invited by the Auburn Media Relations Department to come to Auburn and cover a game. And the red carpet gets rolled out, and Auburn acts like you should. They take the high road. And this clown still goes back this year after seeing the environment and seeing what happened and still takes shots at Auburn.
Yeah, and one thing about that Texas A&M game, they
Auburn didn't have loves doing that, though. Like, Auburn's loved, like, giving access to people who bash Auburn. Like, they always have. Like, ever since I've been, like, in the media stuff, like, they love doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't happen in a lot of places, but it definitely happens at Auburn. Good point by the Jerry 44. That Texas A&M game, Wade Taylor was out. He's been dinged up. So, that's obviously, a big – they're one of their best players, one of their best scorers there.
There's a lot of Jerrys out there, but that's the Jerry.
DJ.
Someone is refuting that they were there, and I get that the next round did the game from Huntsville. I'm talking about at Auburn. They were at Auburn last year, those three dudes. And it was even a tweet that went out and said, hey, welcome them. Don't be mean to them. Be nice to them. So they were here, no doubt.
Wait, are we talking about the next round or the field of 68?
The field of 68 was here because Marlene put a text out and said, oh, guess what, Auburn fans, your favorite guys are going to be here, and kind of hyped it up.
Okay, I got you.
She tweeted it out. So they were here, yes.
Yeah, next round guys are good. We love the next round.
Oh,
guys.
That's not even
– I want to push back a little bit. I want to push back on the overall talent. I want to talk about that for a second. You know, that to me was the more insulting piece – of the whole thing. Alabama's got a more talented roster than Auburn. And I just want to go, like, I want to ask y'all, let's go down the starting five of both. Okay. And for Auburn's exercise, we're going to say Chaney's at the four because he's playing more minutes than Dylan, even though Dylan runs out there first. Okay. And I'm just going to go position by position. Would you trade Auburn's player for Alabama's player? And you can be honest. I think it's totally fine. So starting off at point guard, Mark Sears, Denver Jones. Would you trade one for the other? Dap, you can go first.
I take Sears in that scenario. I mean, he's one of the best players in the conference. He scores. He doesn't guard like Denver Jones. Denver Jones is a more probably defensively and a complete player, but Sears is a dynamic scorer, and I would take him.
Zach, what about you?
Is this like if we're drafting people?
No,
like
if we're drafting players? You're trading one of the starting five to complete your team.
Because I think Sears is better than Denver as a basketball player, but I think Denver is a better fit at Auburn. So that's not a – so if we're trading, I would not trade. But if I had to pick one over the other, I would say Sears.
It's just trading. Like if you would take that player and put him on your team and put the other player on the other team.
That's a tough one.
Let me tell you what I would take.
I think I would take Sears if I was picking them one versus the other. But if I had to trade, if I had the option to trade, I would not trade.
Sure. And I wouldn't trade either. Let me tell you why. Because we already have a Sears on the team. And that's Tahad Pettiford. Tahad Pettiford does everything that Sears does and doesn't guard just like Mark Sears can't defend. So you already have that. So there's no way I'd get rid of Denver, that one of the best defenders on the team, for another Tahad Pettiford. I think you already got the better version and the younger version in Tahad Pettiford. All right, let's keep going. Go ahead. You got something else?
No, I was saying, I was agreeing with you.
All right, number two, let's go shooting guard. I think they start LeBaron Feline, whatever. And then obviously we start Miles Kelly. So who would you trade there?
Oh, I take Kelly all day and on Sunday.
I would as well.
Yeah, Fallon's a one-trick pony to me. He can't shoot. So, and he can't shoot free throws either. So he's shooting like under 70% from the line, and he's really good at layups. But any good defensive team is going to make that really tough. All right, the three guard, we have obviously Chad Baker Mazzara, and they would have. I guess right now technically they're starting Jaren Stevenson.
I would take Chad Baker Mazzara.
Chad Baker Mazzara. Not even close. Not even close.
Yeah, not even remotely close. Okay, this one can be kind of tricky. Grant Nelson or Chaney Johnson?
I would rather have Grant Nelson, I would think.
Me too.
I can see that. That's the only one I struggle with.
Barely. I mean, I would. I mean, experience, starting, minutes played, scoring capability.
Size. He's got really good size too.
Yeah, yep.
So I might go there, even though I think Chaney's defense is probably much better than Grant. Grant was pretty soft the few times that I remember seeing him, especially going up against Jani. So, but we'll call that. We'll give them that one. And then
let me just say this real quick because I want to prove a point. You have just now, and we've all agreed, the two guys that me and Zach have agreed that we would take over Auburn guys, neither one play defense a lick. But Goodman's questioning Auburn's defensive acumen.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. And then go to obviously Jani and Cliff. Cliff was the biggest offseason signing.
You could list any college basketball player outside of Cooper Flagg, and I would
take
Jani
for him. Amen.
And I would probably take Jani over Cooper Flagg right now. It doesn't get better than what Jani's doing this year.
Yeah, and for all the hype that we heard about Cliff, the big red dog, you know, all the Twitter going crazy over that signing, he's averaging a whopping 7 points a game. He's not even really playing a lot of minutes. He's only playing 18 minutes a game. So right there, if you go, we just went player by player, and you can only really pick out maybe one that's like almost a no-brainer you might trade. And depending on the situation, you might not even do that. Even when you look at the talent of the roster, you can say, oh, well, LeBaron's a five-star. They've got a couple of high school. That's true. They do have a couple of more high school guys in their rotation that they recruited out of high school. But the majority of their scoring are guys from the portal. They're big sign, they're big signees, they're big guys they lean on to score. Mark Sears, all these guys. There's no different in those guys and then a Denver Jones and a Chad Baker Mazzara. And then obviously Janai Broome, who was a transfer. I just don't really understand where I really don't understand trying to equate Luke Duke into this, because Duke is, I mean, they're always going to have one of the more talented rosters in college basketball. I just, am I missing something here? I feel like I'm in crazy town.
For full transparency and honesty, OG22 at 819 put up a good comment. If you can pop that up there,
the lineup, Kyle.
So that I agree with that lineup. But even if, for the sake of argument, even if you do that for playing devil's advocate, Auburn still has three of the five. Still has a better starting five. Even under that scenario, you take three Auburn players to two Alabama players, which means that is more talent.
Auburn's sixth man is better as well.
I was going to say we could go – I was going to look at this all the way to the seventh player, and that would go all the way to Dylan. And I think I would be comfortable taking Auburn's six versus their starting six. And then seven would be one where I would be like, okay, I might, whoever their seventh guy is, I might.
So for the sake of the exercise, Tahad is our sixth.
Yeah.
Against Aiden Holloway.
Yeah. Give me that.
Yeah, sure.
All day. Yeah. All day.
And then who would our seventh be? Dylan, I guess, Dylan in this exercise?
Yeah. Yeah. And then they would be either, depending on, I think Youngblood or Reed would be one of them. They do have a little bit more depth, I feel like. They got a little bit more depth. Like, they probably run a more of a true, like, eight or nine-man rotation. Mm-hmm. We're really honestly like – we're like seven and a half.
Except I think I'd take Ja'Kai Howard just as much as I'd take Youngblood.
That's a good point. Ja'Kai's coming along.
Really? He's coming on. You know, we think seven, and then we forget that Ja'Kai Howard's the eighth dude, the third guy off the bench, and he has done some things in limited minutes. If you're talking about offensive efficiency, points per minute, assists per minute, all that, he is right up there. I would take him. I think he's continuing to ascend.
He's Youngblood's averaging 21 minutes a game and 8 points. And Ja'Kai is averaging 13 minutes a game and 6 points.
See, so I mean,
he's playing eight less minutes and only scoring two less points per game. So,
hey, I want to circle back to the defensive gassing up of Alabama. I just want to make sure I'm looking at this right. But I believe Alabama is last in points allowed in the SEC. Is that correct?
They're like over 300th in the country. Yeah, in points per game. It's like 78
points. They're 16th in the conference. They're allowing 77.2 points per game.
And what's Auburn?
We're sixth at 66 even.
Yeah, so they're 10 spots higher than Loverboy's assessment of he doesn't think they can just guard, you know.
I mean, they're allowing 11 less points a game. That's a ton.
That is a ton. That's double digit. I mean, that if you're just giving less three or four,
11
points a game. Yeah. I hear Endless Love playing in the background.
Friends listen to Endless Love in the dark. Now, yeah. Do you think that – I feel like analysts and national media guys, they probably overweight offense. Do you think that's the case? When they're talking about talent, do you think they're just overweighting offensive output, because Alabama does score, you know, nearly 90 points a game. So is that where
stats though are offensive driven though, like offensive efficiency as well as like points per possession and, you know, possessions per, you know, 40 minutes. I mean, a lot of them are catered towards the offense. So probably so.
And that's fine. And the good thing about that is when you get into the NCAA tournament, points are at a premium. You don't score like that in the NCAA tournament. You don't score like that when you're playing teams that are comparable to you in big, big stadiums and arenas instead of little 10, 11,000. It's different, and it tightens up, and it becomes defense and free throws. And that's why teams that can't guard have a hard time. I mean, I know Alabama got to the Final Four last year, but I just think that's rare that teams that give up that many points per game get far in the NCAA tournament, because it becomes a lot tighter game.
I would like to see, and I guess we could look that up. Zach, see if you can find this point. I'd love to know the point. Somebody's trying to make a point that Alabama scores too much, so it allows other people to have more possession. So I'd love to know their points per possession. So that if versus Auburn, because apparently they score so much that it makes other people, other defenses have, or other offenses have more opportunities to score. So we'll see that in just a second. But overall, again, you're Auburn shooting at a higher percentage just about across the board, almost everywhere.
You know who leads the country in points per possession?
Jani Broome.
Just as a team.
I'm going to say Auburn.
Yeah. Yep.
So how's that stat for you? You like that stat?
Is first in the country at 1.2. This is according to teamrankings.com. I'll look somewhere else in a second. Alabama is 23rd at 1.149. So
there you go.
All the metrics, all the analytics, including one loss records and rankings and KenPom, everything points to Auburn. The only thing that doesn't is someone who's infatuated with Alabama's eyeball test. It's the most baseless. That's why I'm saying it's almost laughable that we don't need to pretend that the national media or the nation doesn't respect and understand what Auburn's doing because one clown car doesn't. Everyone else that matters does. Period. So
how about this?
Auburn, I think it's more than just one clown car, though, is what's so frustrating about it.
Who besides Jeff Goodman has really come out and said something that stupid?
I don't know, man. I feel like we see something every week, though, about this.
Well, there's a couple of AP voters that just don't watch games, and I get that. But even, Auburn got 60 of 62 first-place votes last week, so.
It's pretty solid. I think they'll be unanimous this time, hopefully. Except for Jeff Goodman.
Because Florida ain't getting no votes. Yes, he is a voter.
He's an AP voter?
Yeah. Well, so here's – listen to this. Auburn is shoots three-pointers at a higher percentage. They shoot free throws at a higher percentage. They shoot field goals overall at a higher percentage. They turn it over less per game. They block more per game. They have more steals per game. Assists are about the same. And then they have more rebounds per game than Alabama. But if Alabama plays their best game, though, watch out. If they play their best game, I think they could take down the New York Knicks.
Look, if they score more points than the team they're playing, they're going to win every game.
They're going to win every game.
Yeah,
We talked about the next round. I busted Ryan Brown's balls last year because I think Alabama hit like 20 threes in a game, and he's like, if Alabama hits 20 threes in a game, nobody can beat him. I was like, well, no shit.
Yeah, they score 60 points on 20 shots. Yes.
That's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough to beat someone that scores 100.
It's gonna be tough to beat a team that shoots that hits 23s. But all right, let's switch gears a little bit. Auburn's got two games left in January, and they got a chance to go, I guess, 19-1 before February, which is kind of crazy. You got Tennessee at home, and then you go to LSU. What are we looking for? What's the thoughts here? Last two games of January.
I think they go 2-0 in those games. Yeah. I think they win them. I think the game at home Saturday is going to be electric. Auburn's going to play very well, like they always do at home. We don't know, but all indications are there's a chance. Broome comes back. College game day's there. I just think it's going to be electric. And then at LSU, I think Auburn's depth and talent and the way they defend is going to be too much for LSU. And I think Auburn comes out of January 19-1.
Same thing, Zach. Feel the same?
Yep.
I'm a little bit concerned about, I don't know. Jani at home. Is Jani going to be back for Tennessee? They are good, even though they've lost two, I think. They lost to Vanderbilt and obviously to Florida, both road games, though. So they got to come on another road game. So they're not playing very well on the road. Auburn can probably beat them without him. But, man, I'd love to have him back. I'd love to have him back. But, again, maybe don't push it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost bigger than that one game, though. Like, I hate to make a big basketball game about football, but let's don't kid ourselves. Like, that place is going to be electric, and there's going to be a lot of very talented recruits there for junior day. So if he's back – we need as much energy in that building as possible.
Don't underestimate the fact that Tennessee has a chance to get it right. I'd feel a little bit more concerned if Tennessee was coming off a loss. They play Mississippi State in Neville Tuesday night. They have a chance to win that game. They probably should. But you guys know typically Mississippi State takes a lot out of you as a basketball team. They're physical. They defend. They make you defend the whole length of the court. So Tennessee will have to expend a lot of energy Tuesday night at home to win while Auburn's got their feet up drinking a Mai Tai watching basketball on TV.
In front of the fire.
In front of the fire. It's going to be cold. Yeah,
you think they're drinking a Mai Tai?
Hot chocolate. I apologize. I need to change that. Hot chocolate.
I wonder if they'll play in midweek games. I wonder if like some of the midweek games will get canceled.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Oh, because of the weather, sure.
Yeah. So regardless, let me ask you one last question. If Auburn beats Georgia by like they should have 10 plus points, if Dylan doesn't get hurt in the second half, I think they win by double digits easily because they just kept pounding inside and we just had no sides. If Auburn wins by double digits, is it even a question that you go ahead and let Janai rest this weekend or Does it being a margin of victory a little bit tighter, does that change your thought process at all? Does the margin of victory play way into this at all to you?
No, it doesn't.
No. So okay, gotcha.
You got to bank as many.
I mean, I'm just thinking. Hey, if you blow Georgia out by 20. If you blow Georgia out by 20, do you push it? Or do you let him rest?
No, you have to. If he can go, you play him because you have to win every single game you can. Now you're banking victories. And Tennessee gets hot late in the year and it becomes a head-to-head type scenario. You only play Tennessee once. You got to have that dub.
Love it. Love it. Guys, another great, another electric Sunday Night Live. A lot of good questions, a lot of good comments in the comment section. Tell everybody, Dat, where they can find you, support you, love on you, everything.
You can find me on X, Dap6410, Instagram, Daryl Dap. I'm with my man Zach Blackerby on Wednesdays and Friday editions of Locked on Auburn. And then we go live after every Auburn basketball game.
A lot of fun there, too. Zach, everybody knows where you are, but tell
the barn. TheBarnAuburn.com. Sign up today. It's a great community. And we're going to be posting a lot of nuggets this week, getting ready for Junior Day weekend, and as well as what we're hearing about Janai and all that stuff. So go sign up. You get $25 off an annual deal right now. TheBarnAuburn.com.
Probably going to have an electric Junior Day thread this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. So definitely you can catch me at all those same places. So how about that? So guys, thanks for joining. Another great Sunday in the books. Auburn's pretty good at basketball, and we're going to keep riding this wave of fun. So,
But not defense.
Yeah. We suck at defense. Yeah.
We'll catch you next time. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.